Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
It's time for Take. This is Hometown Take with Dylan Matthews. Every morning starting at 5, we give you the latest local Atlanta news. Sports news doesn't stop, and we're here to get you caught up on the latest Atlanta sports news and more.
The Hometown Take is on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Now, here's Dylan.
What's going on, everybody? It is your boy Dylan Matthews live in the Kia Studios giving you the Hometown Take. Make sure you follow the radio station at 929 The Game on all social media platforms. Follow myself at underscore Dylan Matthews on all social media platforms as well. Good Monday morning to you. Hope you are doing well. Shout out to all my overnighters, truck drivers, third shifters. Shout out to all my early morning, late night Uber and Lyft drivers. Shout out to all my early morning, late night limo drivers out there as well. Shout out to all the first responders protecting the city, the county, the state, the country. I appreciate you. Shout out to all my people already at work or on their way to work. Salute to you. I know the vibes. I'm right here with you. Shout out to all my early gym goers getting them good endorphins flowing early this morning. Shout out to all my early morning, late night hospital workers out there getting the people the good treatment, care, and everything they need. And shout out to all my early morning, late night food industry workers out there serving up some good nourishment for the people this morning. And, of course, shout out to all my people listening in the bed as well. And also, before I forget, shout out to all my early morning, late night bus drivers out there getting the people from home to work or getting the kiddos from home to school. I appreciate you tapping in with me as well. And a lot to get to here this morning on the Hometown Take. A busy, busy, but fun, for the most part. We'll get to why I say for the most part here in a second. But for the most part, a fun weekend here in the ATL and a fun sports weekend overall. And real quick, just to give you some breaking news, it's in the world of college basketball. This kind of breaking overnight here. John Calipari finalizing a 5-year deal to become the new head coach of Arkansas. So looks like he is leaving Kentucky. If you remember, Kentucky lost 80-76 to 14-seeded Oakland in the first round of the NCAA tournament this year. And there were discussions like, oh, is it time for Coach K to move on? Is it time for Kentucky to move on from Coach K? Well, it looks like Coach K is moving on. He is headed again to Arkansas to become their head coach. Again, John Calipari finalizing a 5-year deal to become Arkansas's head coach. So a little bit of breaking news here to start the Hometown Take. But some other news that is more pressing here to our Atlanta sports fandom. The Atlanta Braves, they take care of business against the Arizona Diamondbacks in their home opening series. They complete the sweep after getting a 5-2 win over the Diamondbacks yesterday. Really good game for Chris Sale. He pitched very well. We'll give you his line here in just a minute or so. But you saw some power as well. Austin Riley getting into one, Matty O getting into one. And then we also saw Money Mike making it rain over there. The Chop House was busy, man. A lot of balls went to the Chop House. I think the only one that didn't end up going to the Chop House, it was near it, but didn't end up going to the Chop House, was Austin Riley's home run. But actually, you know what? It might have been Michael Harris that didn't go to Chop House. Anywho, I think there were two that went to the Chop House. But regardless, the Chop House definitely got one ball, at least from Matt Olson. So, again, good game for the Braves, completing the sweep And another good outing from Chris Sale. He made his Atlanta debut, so made his home debut, and he looked good doing it and got his first win as a Brave in the process as well. 5 1/3 innings, giving up 4 hits, 2 runs, both of them earned, no walks, 6 strikeouts. So, again, good outing for Chris Sale. Another good outing for Chris Sale. Got a no decision in his first start with the Braves, and now in his home debut gets the win. And honestly, I was a little bit surprised when Brian Snicker took him out. I thought he could have kept going, but maybe I don't know if they're – I don't think they're still trying to stretch Chris Sale out. I don't think there is any sort of – I don't even want to call it innings limitation because I know it's not that, but, you know, I just wonder if they're still maybe trying to stretch him out a little bit, don't want to overwork him too early. Either way it goes, though, he looked good. And like I said, to me personally, it looked like he could have kept going if he really wanted to. He was in maybe, I guess, starting to get in a little bit of trouble in that sixth inning. And then Joe Jimenez came in and shut the door. He did a good job. So, all in all, a good start for Chris Sale, a good outing for Chris Sale. And look, I mean, so far, you could argue, and we'll see what Charlie Morton does tonight against the Mets. But so far, definitely Chris Sale and maybe Charlie Morton, again, depending on what he does tonight against the Mets, those have been your best two starters thus far. Because Max Fried, not looking good again. He gets out of the first inning, and he actually settles down after giving up 6 in the first inning in his start on Saturday against the Diamondbacks. Braves end up coming back, but it was really no thanks to Max Fried. Now, I will say he did settle down after giving up 6 in the first, but you gave up 6 in the first, and he gave up, I think, what, 7 overall? I'm going to go back to the game here and give you his exact line, but Max Fried, I mean, he said it too after the game that he just straight up has to be better. He has to start contributing, and he was happy. Obviously, his team was able to come back and get the win, but he knows he has to be better. He knows he has to pitch better, and especially with the news we're about to get to and the unfortunate news of Spencer Strider. Hopefully, it's not too bad. We're keeping our fingers crossed, but I don't know how optimistic us Braves fans should be, but we'll get more on that here in just a minute. But to give you Max Fried's line, 4 1/3 inning, 10 hits, 8 runs, 7 of them earned, 1 walk, 5 strikeouts, did give up a home run as well. So, again, not very good work there from Max Fried. And, he struggles again. Now, in that first outing, you do give him a little bit of leeway because, again, he did have the bases loaded, but he made a great pitch to get out of it, but it was, for some reason, called a ball, one of the worst non-strike calls I've ever seen, one of the worst missed calls I've ever seen, period. But either way it goes, Max Fried has struggled in his first two outings, and he has to be better, point blank, period. And hopefully he does get better because now with Spencer Strider, at least on the 15-day IL, maybe longer, and it could be for the season. Because Friday, in the Braves' home opener, it was revealed, first and foremost, let me say this. Spencer Strider left the game. It was reported after the game that Spencer Strider left Friday night's home opener with some elbow soreness, a little bit of elbow pain, and he had a MRI on Saturday, and that MRI unfortunately revealed that Spencer Strider did suffer some damage to the ulnar collateral ligament in his right elbow, the UCL, if you may. He is going to be further evaluated by Dr. Keith Meister in Arlington, Texas, and the date he's going to be reevaluated or further evaluated, I should say, is yet to be determined. But look, if there is UCL damage in his elbow, there is a chance he might have to have a second Tommy John surgery. And we know Tommy John surgery means you're gone at least a year. At least. And that would be Spencer Strider's season for this year if he does, in fact, have to have Tommy John surgery. Now, again, that has not been confirmed. He has not been further evaluated by the doctor in Texas yet. But with UCL damage, there does come the obvious question of, is he going to have Tommy John surgery? Now, hopefully he doesn't. The Braves haven't provided a further update yet besides placing him on the 15-day IL, and they recalled Allen Winans to Atlanta, and again, placed Spencer Strider on the 15-day injury list. Right now, they're just calling it a right elbow UCL strain, but again, we know there's damage to it. How much? We're still trying to figure out. Is he going to be able to come back this season? We're all waiting and holding our breath. Now, look, I will say this. The Braves can still win a World Series without Spencer Strider. Even if he is gone for the year, it's going to be definitely harder without Spencer Strider. It's not going to make it easier that Spencer Strider is gone, of course. But let's remember, the Braves did win a World Series without Ronald Acuña Jr. They were able to do that. So it's not like they still won't have the talent to go out and win a World Series. I mean, look at the offense. They came back twice in this opening series against the Diamondbacks. So the offense is still the Braves' offense, and they have pretty much picked up where they left off. I mean, look at just what they've done at home over the past three games. 5 runs yesterday. Then before that, 6 runs. Then before that, 9 runs. So this offense is still very much the Braves' offense. Oh, sorry, excuse me. So it's 5 runs on Sunday, 9 runs Saturday, and 6 runs Friday. I had it backwards. Anywho, the point is this Braves offense can still carry the team. You would like to have some good pitching to go with it, and that's why Max Fried, we talked about that a few minutes ago, why he has to be better, especially if Spencer Strider is going to be out for an extended period of time and maybe even the season. You need Max Fried to be better, and of course, you're going to need Chris Sale and Charlie Morton to continue to step up, and you're going to need one of your young guys to really lock in and maybe become a staple here in this rotation. Whether that's Allen Winans, whether that's A.J. Smith-Shawver, whether that's whoever, you're going to need somebody to step up, at least for the short term, but possibly even the long term. So, again, not great news for the Braves, but again, it's not like it's all doom and gloom for the Braves by any stretch. It's by no stretch doom and gloom for the Braves. They still have everything in front of them. They can still win this division. They can still win a World Series. Again, without Spencer Strider, it's going to be harder, but they can still do it, and especially with the way this offense looks to be clicking now. I mean, Jared Kelnick continues to perform and be great in that 8-hole, 7-hole, wherever you put him, 9-hole even, or he really only hits at 9 and 8. He hasn't been in the 7-hole yet, but Jared Kelnick continues to look good, and your Braves hitters continue to do what they do. Matty O is hitting. We saw Austin Riley hit his home run yesterday. Money Mike doing his thing. Marcell Ozuna, he's been playing well, and it's good that he's getting off to a fast start. It's good that he's not getting off to the start that he got off to last year. He's starting quick. So this Braves offense is doing just fine. Now, again, we'll see what happens with Spencer Strider. And look, if Spencer Strider is out for the season, the Braves more than likely will go out and make a move before the trade deadline. How soon before the trade deadline? I don't know. But I would think they make a move before the trade deadline if Spencer Strider is out for the season. Now, if he's planning on coming back this season, they probably stand pat. Maybe they go get one regardless, but they probably stand pat, at least for now, if Spencer Strider does not have to miss the rest of the season. So I hope he doesn't have to miss the rest of the season. But, again, those UCLs and him having to have Tommy John once already, you never know. And with there already being confirmed damage to the UCL, I don't think it's looking good for Spencer Strider. I would not be surprised if he does have to have a second Tommy John. So I hope not, knock on whatever this table is made out of, and he doesn't have to have it, but we shall see. All right, when we come back, 5 minutes from now on the Hometown Take, a new champion has been crowned in women's college basketball, and it was their season of destiny. I'll tell you who I'm talking about here in just a second. Well, you know what we're talking about. The South Carolina Gamecocks. Congratulations to Dawn Staley and the South Carolina Gamecocks. They win their second national title in 3 seasons. And again, they were the team of destiny. We'll recap the game. Talk about it next. Coming up in 5 minutes here on the Hometown Take. Live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews on Sports Radio. 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the Hometown Take. Well, I'm not trying to get to that at 5:21 a.m., but what I am trying to get to is this money, though. You know what I'm saying? Hey, but you know, there's a time and place for everything. Shout out to T-Pain. But it is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the Hometown Take with your boy Dylan Matthews on a Monday morning, hanging out, having some fun with you here. Shout out to all my overnighters, truck drivers, third shifters. Shout out to all my early morning, late night Uber and Lyft drivers. Shout out to all my early morning, late night limo drivers out there as well. Shout out to all the first responders protecting the city, the county, the state, the country. I appreciate you. Shout out to all my people already at work, on their way to work. Salute to you. I know the vibes. I'm right here with you. Shout out to all my early gym goers, getting them good endorphins flowing early this morning. And shout out, of course, to all my early morning, late night bus drivers out there, getting the people from home to work or getting the kiddos from home to school. Shout out to all the early morning food industry workers out there serving up some good nourishment early this morning, my early morning, late night bus drivers. And, of course, my early morning, late night hospital workers, getting the people the good treatment and medicine they need early this morning and the good care. And, of course, all my people listening in the bed right now as well. South Carolina, 38-0, a team of destiny this season. But it had always seemed that way. After losing number one overall pick, or eventual number one overall pick, I guess I should say, Aaliyah Boston to the WNBA and four other starters. So, again, they lost all five of their starters, South Carolina did, coming into the season. So a new batch of starters, but it did not matter. They were still a team of destiny, and they go 38-0 after defeating the Iowa Hawkeyes and Caitlin Clark 87-75 in the national title game yesterday. They became the 10th team in Division I history to complete an undefeated season, again going 38-0. They join UConn, who did it six times, Baylor, who did it in 2011, 2012. Tennessee did it in 1997 and 1998. And Texas did it in 1985 and 1986. They're the only programs to achieve a undefeated season. And again, after graduating 2023, number one NBA draft pick Aliyah Boston and four other starters from last year, South Carolina became the first team since at least 2000 to win a title after returning none of its primary starters from a team that reached the Final Four the previous season. And they avenged that loss to Iowa, too. If you remember, they lost to Iowa in the semifinal game last year. Avenged that loss in the national championship game, and they got their second title in three seasons. And I just have to say, I am so happy for South Carolina. Not that I was going against Caitlin Clark, but I just felt like, and for good reason, like I understand it. Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, Flage, they were the stars. South Carolina didn't have a real, true, bona fide star. Now, Malaysia, Fo Wiley, she is a star in the making. She's just a freshman, though, so she's going to be around for at least two more seasons. Tessa Johnson, star in the making. She actually led the team in points with 19. Star in the making. She's just a freshman. Raven Johnson did her thing after, what was that? I'm sorry, Day-Day. Oh, Raven Johnson from Atlanta. Thank you, Day-Day. My guy Day-Day holding it down behind the glass. Coming back from vacation, by the way. Shout out to my guy Day-Day out there in the islands. Yeah, getting his vacay on. But, yes, Raven Johnson, thank you, Day-Day, from Atlanta, doing her thing, locking up Caitlin Clark, knocking down some big shots. If you remember last year, because they made a big point of this during the broadcast and even before the game started, if you remember, Caitlin Clark, she had the, you know, job of guarding Raven Johnson, and Raven Johnson was at a three, if you remember, during last year's semifinals game, and Caitlin Clark just waved her off like, ah, let her shoot. They did her like people be doing Draymond, ah, let him shoot. Just waved her off and was like, ah, let her shoot. We couldn't do that this year. Raven Johnson got in the gym, and she worked on her shot, and she did a good job of locking up Caitlin Clark as well. So, I mean, and we can't forget about Pow Pow either. She did her thing, transfer coming over, said she watched the game, the semifinal game last year against Iowa, and said, look, they need some perimeter shooting. They could use me. And she transferred to South Carolina, wanted to be on the team that won, and she helped South Carolina, Dawn Staley, do just that. And they won a national championship. And speaking of Dawn Staley, I mean, it's just so good to hear her talk and hear and see her win and just see her happy. And she becomes, I believe, just the third or fourth coach to win multiple titles or win at least three titles behind Gino Auriemma, Pat Summitt, Kim Mulkey, and Tara Vanderveer as well. I believe those are the only ones. I have the stat here. But I believe it's just Don, Gino, Pat, Tara Vanderveer. I think there's one more I'm actually missing. Yeah, here it is. So she became the fifth head coach, not the fourth, the fifth head coach to win at least three national titles. So there you have it. But again, just great stuff from South Carolina. And the point I really want to make here is, like, again, I get Caitlin Clark. She's big time. She and Dawn Staley did a great job of mentioning this. And this just goes to show how gracious she is. And again, in the middle of celebrating, she still had the wherewithal. She even said, she told Holly Rowe, like, no, I want to say one more thing before ESPN wrapped their broadcast up after, you know, they were on the stage and celebrating. She said she wanted to shout out Caitlin Clark, gave Caitlin Clark her flowers, and said Caitlin Clark carried a heavy load because the way she really put the game of women's basketball on her back and lifting it up and put it in a spotlight that it had never been in before, put it in a limelight that it had never been in before. And again, in the midst of celebrating winning a national championship and having an undefeated season and making history in the midst of all that. She has the wherewithal to think, let me thank the person in the team we were just going up against that helped put so many more eyes on the game of women's college basketball and help really raise the sport and put the sport at a place where it should be. So I thought that was really cool as well. And getting back to Caitlin Clark, she's big time. She's obviously one of the faces of just women's college basketball now, period. Not just college basketball. Not she's not just going to be the face of the WNBA, but just women's basketball, period. So what she did for the game of women's college basketball, what she's going to do, what we anticipate her doing for the game of the WNBA, it's special. And she's super exciting to watch. She had a pretty good game again yesterday. And I get why she, along with Angel Reese and Flavia Johnson and that LSU team, got all the attention. But I just felt like South Carolina was slept on. And I don't know why they were slept on. And again, I know why. I know why they were slept on. Because Caitlin Clark, Angel, and Flage, they were the names. They were the faces. They were the stars. And again, South Carolina didn't have that star, that established star. Again, they have some girls on there who are going to be stars. Again, Malaysia Fowiley, Tessa Johnson. They got some girls on there that are going to be stars. And you know, they did have Cardoso as well, who ended up winning the Final Four's women's Final Four most outstanding player. And she was amazing as well. I think she had 17 and 15 in like three blocks. So they did have her. And so I need to give her credit for sure. But they didn't have the star at the level of a Caitlin Clark. They didn't have a star at the level of an Angel Reese. They didn't have a star at the level of a Flage Johnson. They maybe didn't even have a star at the level of a Cameron Brink from Stanford. Maybe you could argue. Cardoso is probably in that same tier, actually. But my point being is that because they didn't have that star, they just kind of flew under the radar. And for a team that was undefeated, for a team that pretty much 31 out of the 38 victories, 31 of their 38 victories came by double digits. They beat 31 of their 38 opponents by double digits. How does that team fly so under the radar the way that they did? Because it felt like leading up to, really for the whole NCAA tournament, they were mentioned. But I mean, as long as Iowa and LSU were in it, I mean, when it was Iowa and LSU taking on each other in the semifinal, that's really all we heard about. We didn't hear about South Carolina and NC State. We didn't hear about that game. All we heard about was the rematch between Iowa and LSU, the rematch between Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese. That's all we heard about. And again, I get it. They are the faces, or they were the faces of women's college basketball. Really, their faces of college basketball, period. That's how big they were. That's how big they are. So I understand it. But this South Carolina team was just so good. I just honestly didn't like the fact that they flew under the radar really until the championship game was set. Once the championship game was set and we started previewing Iowa and South Carolina, then they got talked about. But that's too late. They should have been getting the attention that Iowa and LSU got the whole season. They should have been getting that type of attention the whole season. And especially for what they did. Again, they lost all five starters from last year. They lost who would eventually be the number one overall pick in Aliyah Boston. And what did they do? They came back and had a perfect season. That is great coaching by Don Staley. That is great work by the young players to buy in. I mean, that is just a heck of a feat by the South Carolina Gamecocks. So I needed to come on here and really give them their flowers because, again, up until yesterday, I feel like they weren't talked about as much as they should have been, period. So congratulations to the South Carolina Gamecocks, and congratulations to Dawn Staley. Congratulations to Camila Cardozo. Congratulations to Raven Johnson. Congratulations to Malaysia Fawiley, Tessa Johnson, the whole team there. Pow Pow, congratulations to all of them for a historic, great season. And Caitlin Clark, too. I mean, even though they couldn't finish it at the end, what she did for the game, she's goated. And Dawn Staley said as much as well, too, in her post-game comments. So congratulations to them. And we got the Natty tonight on the men's side, UConn and Purdue. Should be a good one. It kind of felt like it would be these two teams all along. So we'll see who gets it done. Will UConn get a back-to-back national title? Will they continue to defend their national title, or will Zach Edey get them one before he moves on to the NBA draft? We will find out. That game tipping off at 9:20 tonight. Going to be a late one for your boy and for Day Day and for all of us here at work in the mornings. But when we come back, oh, the Atlanta Hawks. We'll talk about them. We'll mention them. But we got some other things we'll make sure we'll get to, too. But we'll talk about the Hawks. They fall to the Nuggets. And final week of, I believe this is the final week of the regular season. So, got to touch on that, tell you where they are stacked up when it comes to that 9 spot and how far back they are from the Chicago Bulls. Are they going to be able to get it? We'll see. We'll talk about that next right here on the Hometown Take, live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the Hometown Take, live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews on a Monday morning. Hope you all are doing well. Shout out to all my overnighters, truck drivers, third shifters. Shout out to all my early morning, late night Uber and Lyft drivers. Shout out to all my early morning, late night limo drivers out there as well. Shout out to all the first responders protecting the city, the county, the state, the country. I appreciate you. Shout out to all my early gym goers getting them good endorphins flowing early this morning. Shout out to all my people already at work, on their way to work. Salute to you. I know the vibes. I'm right here with you. Shout out to all my people out there riding around and getting it on the buses, getting the people from home to work or getting the kiddos from home to school. I appreciate you tapping in with me. Shout out to all my early morning, late night hospital workers out there as well, getting the people the good treatment, medicine, and care that they need. And, of course, shout out to all my people listening in the bed right now as well, and all my first responders out there too. The Atlanta Hawks, they unfortunately fall to the Denver Nuggets. Final score was 142-110. Look, just overpowered. I mean, that's what it really comes down to at the end of the day. Trae Young, obviously still not back, probably not going to be back until the play-in tournament. He did say on his podcast From the Point that he is hoping to be back next week, which is, I think, maybe sometime at the end of this week. I forgot exactly when he published that podcast, but in his latest podcast, he did say that he was planning on coming back next week, and he's hopefully going to get the cast off at some point this week too, and we'll see. But he, at least, I think, again, the timetable is he should be able to be back for at least that play-in game against the Chicago Bulls. So hopefully he can come back, and hopefully the Hawks can make some sort of run. But we'll see. I do look, you are this team is better with Trae Young, point blank, period. But I do wonder, with Trae Young having been out for a while now, if there is going to be some sort of adjustment period. And if he does come back in the Chicago Bulls game, in the play-in tournament, like, how much of an adjustment is that going to be, having to work him back into the fold? I think that is a fair question. Like, they've, at this point, I don't want to say you get used to, but they have learned to play, the Hawks have, without Trae Young. When he comes back, are they going to have to relearn or readjust to having Trae Young back in the mix, having Trae Young back in the lineup, having Trae Young back in the fold? I do wonder about that, and I do wonder if that's going to affect their play at all. Now, it might affect their play, but maybe not to the point where they lose to the Bulls still. Hopefully not. But when you take on either, if you look at the Eastern Conference standings right now, if you end up taking on either the Pacers, the Heat, the 76ers, right now it would be either between the Sixers or the Heat. The Sixers have moved up to the seventh spot. The Heat are now in that eighth seed. But with Joel Embiid coming back, the Sixers are starting to get on a roll again. But against one of those two teams, it's going to be a little bit tougher, obviously. And, you know, how fast can this team readjust to having Trae Young back in the lineup again? So I do wonder about that. But, again, this team is definitely, definitely better with Trae Young in the lineup. I don't want to get that mixed up. I want to be very clear about that. So don't get it confused. The Hawks are better with Trae Young in the lineup. But I do wonder if it's going to be some sort of a adjustment period. But they do lose on Saturday to the Denver Nuggets again, 142-110. As far as where they are landing in the standings now, they are at 36-42. A game behind the Chicago Bulls, they are at 37-41. If we look at the Hawks and Bulls' remaining schedule for the Hawks, they take on the Heat at home tomorrow night. They take on the Hornets Wednesday, so it'll be on a back-to-back. Second night of a back-to-back on Wednesday against the Hornets. That game will be at home as well, though, so that's good. And then they finish the season on Friday and Sunday, the last two regular season games of the year. Friday in Minnesota, and then Sunday in Indiana to take on the Pacers. So four games left in this regular season. The NBA is starting to get towards the playoffs and the postseason, and it'll be fun, but we'll see how much the Hawks will end up being involved. They did clinch a play-in berth, so they will play the Bulls. At this point, it's just a matter of if they're going to be at home or on the road. So Chicago, what they have to close out this season, they have four games left as well. They play the Knicks at home tomorrow. Then they play they play the Pistons on the road on Thursday, the Wizards on the road on Friday, and then the Knicks on the road on Sunday. So this really could come down to the final game. And for the Hawks, again, I'll remind you, you probably already know, but I'll remind you again just in case anybody doesn't. The Bulls do own the season tiebreaker. So they own the season series. They won the season series 2-1, I believe it was. So if the Hawks and Bulls finish with the same record, the Bulls get the tiebreaker, and they would have the advantage still, and they would still get that 9 seed if the Hawks and the Bulls finish with the same record. So just wanted to put that out there again as well, and of course we'll continue to remind you as we head down this final week of the regular season. But it'll be interesting to see. But yeah, when it comes to what happened on Saturday, they were just overmatched. Jamal Murray came back after he had missed 7 games. He was dealing with a strained right knee. He had 16 points and 6 assists in 21 minutes. Jokic had himself another triple-double. Aaron Gordon actually sat out, but Michael Porter Jr. had 20 points. He had a good game. And Kentavious Caldwell-Pope had a season-high 24 points. Reggie Jackson, who was starting in place of DeJounte Murray, he was on the bench, and he led the second unit with 18 points. So they were just overmatched. All five starters for the Hawks did score in double figures. Clint Capella actually led the Hawks in scoring with 19 points. So that was a sight for sore eyes, I guess. But still, the Hawks were just too overmatched, and that's the defending world champion Denver Nuggets for a reason. They are that good, and they now is the time where they're really starting to turn it on. And at 54-24, they're now, that win over the Hawks actually put them in sole possession of first place in the West. But I mean, yeah, DeAndre Hunter had a solid game. He had 18 points. Jalen Johnson, another good game, 17.6 rebounds. Clint Capella, like I said, led the team in scoring, 19-12. Bogey had 18. DeJounte Murray had 14 points, 12 assists. Garrison Matthews had 11 off the bench. Garrison Matthews has been solid in extended minutes and his extended play. So, again, yeah, just overpowered. Denver had too much talent. They're too good of a team. And when you don't have your best player, you're probably not going to have a chance to win that game. So that just is what it is. But we will continue to keep you updated as the Hawks close out their regular season this week. But when we come back, we will wrap things up on this Monday edition of the Hometown Take, and we will hand things off to the morning shift. Tiffany Blackman, Bo Morgan, Mike Johnson. We'll see what they got up for a Monday edition of the program. That's coming up right after this on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the Hometown Take, live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews on a Monday morning. Hope you all are doing well. Shout out to all my overnighters, truck drivers, third shifters. Shout out to all my early morning, late night Uber and Lyft drivers. Shout out to all my early morning, late night limo drivers out there as well. Shout out to all the first responders protecting the city, the county, the state, the country. I appreciate you. Shout out to all my early gym goers getting them good endorphins flowing early this morning. Shout out to all my people already at work, on their way to work. Salute to you. I know the vibes. I'm right here with you. Shout out to all my people out there riding around and getting it on the buses, getting the people from home to work or getting the kiddos from home to school. I appreciate you tapping in with me. Shout out to all my early morning, late night hospital workers out there as well, getting the people the good treatment, medicine, and care that they need. And, of course, shout out to all my people listening in the bed right now as well, and all my first responders out there too. The Atlanta Hawks, they unfortunately fall to the Denver Nuggets. Final score was 142-110. Look, just overpowered. I mean, that's what it really comes down to at the end of the day. Trae Young, obviously still not back. Probably not going to be back until the play-in tournament. He did say on his podcast From the Point that he is hoping to be back next week, which is, I think, maybe sometime at the end of this week. I forgot exactly when he published that podcast, but in his latest podcast, he did say that he was planning on coming back next week, and he's hopefully going to get the cast off at some point this week too, and we'll see. But he, at least, I think, again, the timetable is he should be able to be back for at least that play-in game against the Chicago Bulls. So hopefully he can come back, and hopefully the Hawks can make some sort of run. But we'll see. This team is better with Trae Young, point blank, period. But I do wonder with Trae Young having been out for a while now, if there is going to be some sort of adjustment period, and if he does come back in the Chicago Bulls game, in the play-in tournament, like, how much of an adjustment is that going to be, having to work him back into the fold? I think that is a fair question. Like, they've, at this point, I don't want to say you get used to, but they have learned to play, the Hawks have, without Trae Young. When he comes back, are they going to have to relearn or readjust to having Trae Young back in the mix, having Trae Young back in the lineup, having Trae Young back in the fold? I do wonder about that, and I do wonder if that's going to affect their play at all. Now, it might affect their play, but maybe not to the point where they lose to the Bulls still. Hopefully not. But when you take on either, if you look at the Eastern Conference standings right now, if you end up taking on either the Pacers, the Heat, the 76ers, right now it would be either between the Sixers or the Heat. The Sixers have moved up to the seventh spot. The Heat are now in that eighth seed. But with Joel Embiid coming back, the Sixers are starting to get on a roll again. But against one of those two teams, it's going to be a little bit tougher, obviously. And, you know, how fast can this team readjust to having Trae Young back in the lineup again? So I do wonder about that. But, again, this team is definitely, definitely better with Trae Young in the lineup. I don't want to get that mixed up. I want to be very clear about that. So don't get it confused. The Hawks are better with Trae Young in the lineup. But I do wonder if it's going to be some sort of a adjustment period. But they do lose on Saturday to the Denver Nuggets again, 142-110. As far as where they are landing in the standings now, they are at 36-42, a game behind the Chicago Bulls. They are at 37-41. If we look at the Hawks and Bulls' remaining schedule for the Hawks, they take on the Heat at home tomorrow night. They take on the Hornets Wednesday, so it'll be on a back-to-back. Second night of a back-to-back on Wednesday against the Hornets. That game will be at home as well, though, so that's good. And then they finish the season on Friday and Sunday, the last two regular season games of the year. Friday in Minnesota, and then Sunday in Indiana to take on the Pacers. So four games left in this regular season. The NBA is starting to get towards the playoffs and the postseason, and it'll be fun, but we'll see how much the Hawks will end up being involved. They did clinch a playing berth, so they will play the Bulls. At this point, it's just a matter of if they're going to be at home or on the road. So Chicago, what they have to close out this season, they have four games left as well. They play the Knicks at home tomorrow. Then they play they play the Pistons on the road on Thursday, the Wizards on the road on Friday, and then the Knicks on the road on Sunday. So this really could come down to the final game. And for the Hawks, again, I'll remind you, you probably already know, but I'll remind you again just in case anybody doesn't. The Bulls do own the season tiebreaker. So they own the season series. They won the season series 2-1, I believe it was. So if the Hawks and Bulls finish with the same record, the Bulls get the tiebreaker, and they would have the advantage still, and they would still get that 9 seed if the Hawks and the Bulls finish with the same record. So just wanted to put that out there again as well. And, of course, we'll continue to remind you as we head down this final week of the regular season. But it'll be interesting to see. But, yeah, when it comes to what happened on Saturday, they were just overmatched. Jamal Murray came back after he had missed 7 games. He was dealing with a strained right knee. He had 16 points and 6 assists in 21 minutes. Jokic had himself another triple-double. Aaron Gordon actually sat out, but Michael Porter Jr. had 20 points. He had a good game. And Kentavious Caldwell-Pope had a season-high 24 points. Reggie Jackson, who was starting in place of DeJounte Murray, he was on the bench, and he led the second unit with 18 points. So they were just overmatched. All five starters for the Hawks did score in double figures. Clint Capella actually led the Hawks in scoring with 19 points. So that was a sight for sore eyes, I guess. But still, the Hawks were just too overmatched, and that's the defending world champion Denver Nuggets for a reason. They are that good. And they now is the time where they're really starting to turn it on. And at 54-24, they're now. That win over the Hawks actually put them in sole possession of first place in the West. But, I mean, yeah, DeAndre Hunter had a solid game. He had 18 points. Jalen Johnson, another good game, 17.6 rebounds. Clint Capella, like I said, led the team in scoring, 19-12. Bogey had 18. DeJounte Murray had 14 points, 12 assists. Garrison Matthews had 11 off the bench. Garrison Matthews has been solid in extended minutes and his extended play. So, again, yeah, just overpowered. Denver had too much talent. They're too good of a team. And when you don't have your best player, you're probably not going to have a chance to win that game. So that just is what it is. But we will continue to keep you updated as the Hawks close out their regular season this week. But when we come back, we will wrap things up on this Monday edition of the Hometown Take, and we will hand things off to the morning shift. Tiffany Blackman, Bo Morgan, Mike Johnson. We'll see what they got up for a Monday edition of the program. That's coming up right after this on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.